As Ron prayed that, you know, the Lord knocking on our hearts, I just thought, yeah, you know, what if every heartbeat is a knock? God knocking on our hearts. Well, the Lord be with you. We've crossed another time threshold as we enter the new year. And even though our calendar is just a man-made construct to give us some measurement of time, it does help us mark the past and look forward to the future. And as exciting as such transitions can be, they also come with a measure of anxiety. It's not always a happy new year for everyone. In fact, for me and my extended family, New Year is always going to be a reminder of my mom passing away on January 2nd, which is already now January 2nd in India. So it's not always a happy New Year. And maybe for some of you, that is good news this morning, that it's okay if you're sitting here greeting people Happy New Year and going, wait a minute. And so as exciting as this transition can be, they come with a measure of anxiety. To say that the past couple of years have been stressful is an understatement. Some of us may have gotten a brief time of rest over the last week of Christmas break, but many are probably starting the new year with the same burdens that we've carried on year after year. Burdens like unfinished tasks. I was feeling terrible yesterday as I was thinking of all the things that I'd wanted to do and finish, all the people I wanted to meet, and all the things I couldn't do. And I'm like, it's already the end of the year. Unfinished tasks, cares about family, stress of school. Speaking of school, a study done at McGill University in 2017, this is prior to the pandemic, indicated that the top three stressors for university students were academic performance, pressure to succeed, and post-graduation plans. Almost 30% of students experience clinical levels of depression, and about 65% reported feeling overwhelming anxiety. Those are huge numbers when you think of how large our universities are. And as I suspect things might not have gotten better for students in the past 3 years. If anything, it could have gotten worse. I just gave that as one study that's been done. I mean, I'm sure studies done on doctors and nurses, and there's studies done on pastors, which have kind of similar figures, that stress is a reality in our world. And to all of this, we can add our lists of burdens, relationships, financial pressures, health. That would be one big one post-pandemic. People who weren't so anxious about their health now are more anxious than before. And add to this our own doubts, our insecurities, our disappointments with ourselves and others, even God, and our sin. Imagine if all these unseen burdens we carried this morning suddenly became visible to everyone. Just imagine, like this garbage bag. It's not really garbage, it's sleeping bags inside, so it's not that heavy. But just imagine, right? Like, imagine if whatever we are carrying right now this morning, whatever is on your heart and weighing on you, just suddenly became visible for everyone. And every one of you is sitting with one of these. I mean, we'll barely be able to see each other's faces. But that's how we go from year to year, right? Happy New Year. Happy New Year. We come to church like this, and we walk out like this. If anything, sometimes at church, we add a few more things inside. I should be doing this. I should be praying more. Maybe I need to put more resolutions in this. And we go out with probably a heavier, which is what Jesus was seeing, the people that came to him, surrounding him, where the religious leaders were probably piling on to the already heavy burdens that people were carrying. Sorry, I should stay in one place so that Mike doesn't give feedback. Not used to this moving around as much, but there we go. However, it is to such condition as ours and the people around us that Christ's words of life invite us this morning. Come to me, he says. Now, for those who don't know me and you're new, visiting for the first time, my name is Sandeep, pastor here at New Life. And this morning, I want to briefly reflect on these words of Jesus that were read to us from Matthew 11, 28 to 30, because I believe that they are a promise to us for this year. This is what I want to personally live out of for this coming year, and hopefully even the rest of my life. Some of you might remember that in our response times, in the recent times, we've had this word, come, repeatedly read out to us. And some of those words from Isaiah we sang this morning, come to me, buy without money, eat and drink, come. Come is an invitation that is repeated throughout Scripture, and I'll speak a bit more to that. But this promise of Jesus in Matthew 11 is actually set against a backdrop of doubt and disappointment, even outright rejection. If you read chapter 11, that's how it starts. It begins with John the Baptist, who had recognized Jesus, announced that this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world at his baptism, suddenly begins to doubt. He's in prison, and he sends a messenger to Jesus saying, are you really the one, or do we have to wait for someone else? Because it's not going the way my script shows. You're bringing a different script into play now. And Jesus shook the expectations even of the godly. And so this chapter begins with disappointment and then outright rejection. Jesus denounces the cities that have seen all his miracles and yet have refused to believe in him. And before making this promise in 28 to 30, Jesus turns to his heavenly Father. What do you do in the face of doubts and disappointments and even outright rejection? This is what Jesus does. He turns to his heavenly Father and thanks him. And first he thanks him for hiding his truth from the wise and intelligent of the world and revealing them to infants. You know, it's said that sometimes we are too smart for our own good. And much of the burdens that we lay on ourselves is due to our own pride. So Jesus thanks the Father for revealing his truth to the infants, the ones who have believed in Jesus. And then Jesus makes this exclusive claim that only the Father knows him and only he knows the Father and only he can make the Father known to those that he chooses. It's a very exclusive claim that you cannot know God unless you come to Jesus. So it's in the background of all these verses that now Jesus says, and we look at these verses, verses 28 to 30, come to me. So as I mentioned before, come is a repeated invitation from God throughout scriptures. From the time Adam and Eve strayed away from under God's caring protection, God continues to pursue humanity. Where are you? Come to me. In Isaiah 55, 1 and 2, the hungry and thirsty are invited to come to a satisfying meal that is offered for free. Now here in Matthew 11, 28, Christ, God in flesh, invites humanity again to himself. Come to me. Jesus' divine claim is clear in this invitation, pointing to him as the source of everything. Our search for purpose, meaning, hope, life stops at Jesus. All restlessness comes to an end in Jesus. And who are the people who are invited here? All of you, Jesus says. All of you that are weary. This is an active verb, meaning exhausted through toil. How many of us feel exhausted through toil and working hard? There's nothing wrong in working hard. But these are the people Jesus invites. You've been working hard. You are exhausted, and I see it, Jesus says. All you that are weary and all that are carrying heavy burdens. This is a passive verb that's used there. It's like you're being burdened. Like yourself or other burdens are being laid on you. Overloaded like beasts of burden. And keep that beast or animal imagery in your mind. While Jesus' claim is exclusive, that only he can reveal the Father to whom he chooses, his promise is extended to everyone. Everyone who comes now can find rest. All who are bent over by the load they carry. Jesus makes us straight again or upright as he breaks all oppression that dehumanizes us and causes us to be curved in on ourselves. That's how many of the church fathers and I think Augustine and Luther looked at how what sin does to us. We are curved in on ourselves, bent inwards. And Christ lifts us up, makes us straight and upright again. The promise to all who come to Jesus is, he says, and I will give you rest. It is a sure promise. All these words in there, there's no ambiguity. It's not like maybe you're going to get some rest. You know, maybe you'll find some meaning. If I don't give it to you, go and look for it somewhere else. No, he says, I will give you rest. It's a sure promise. It's a fact. In the literal Greek translation, it's I, you, cause to rest. I will cause you to rest. The idea there is to cause someone to gain relief from toil. Yes, you're working hard, but you're toiling now, and I will cause you to rest from that toil, give you refreshment, revive you. It is to bring someone into a state of being physically refreshed as a result of resting. All these promise words here of resting and ceasing to work take us all the way back to the book of Genesis, where humanity is cursed that work is going to become now toil. Jesus reverses the curse of the fall in the garden when good work became toil, when sin alienated us from God, each other, and all of creation. And rest here means to be restored to that purpose God created us for. Rest doesn't mean lazing around and doing nothing. It's really being restored to God's purposes. Remember, the first day of humanity in the book of Genesis was rest. Remember, God created human beings after creating everything else. And what was the first day after that? It says God rested. That was the first day for human beings. When humanity was created, we were created to rest with God, to celebrate and enjoy all that God had created. Look at it with appreciation and wonder, and look to him with thanksgiving and worship, and then serve him out of that. And there is, of course, service. There is, of course, a task. But the invitation is now first to come. And so this invitation to come and rest and this call to serve is combined. They are not separate. I think we separate them at times. And that's why we end up focusing on one or the other. And we disfigure both of them, you know. So our rest often can end up becoming just purposelessness, laziness, and our work can become toil. But it's rest and service that go hand in hand. And so Jesus says, come now, come to me, I'll give you rest. And then the call is take. It's a command statement in the Greek. Take my yoke. Pick up my yoke. A yoke was a wooden frame or a wooden beam placed on animals to pair them together to pull something in tandem. You know, if you've seen images of farming or you've visited places like India, you'll still see cattle with yokes and ox carts with yokes. Sometimes it's a single animal, sometimes it's a pair. And, you know, whether we use this analogy to being paired with Jesus or whether it's Jesus giving us, oh, I have a water bottle, but thank you. Thank you, Catherine. This yoke in Scripture is also used as a metaphor, a symbol of control, of ownership, of service. And negatively, it is used as a symbol of slavery, of bondage, like in Egypt, of hardship. And positively, it is used as joint work, yoke fellows. In the New Testament, it's the joint work of the church that we yoke together in the purposes of God. What is this yoke Jesus was carrying? Jesus could be pointing to the cross, which is kind of like a yoke. It's this wooden beam that he will carry and his disciples will also have to carry. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciples, take up your cross and follow me. If you take that meaning here, cross-bearing discipleship was not meant to be burdensome. Though it might be painful and sacrificial, but Jesus himself did it out of complete trust in the Father and a sense of joy in doing the Father's will. And this is an interesting concept, that following Christ is not always easy. It can be very difficult. It can even be painful. And yet, there is joy in the midst of that. There is more joy in doing that than not doing it, even though life might seem easy and more comfortable at times for those who don't want to take up the cross. I keep thinking of Richard Wurmbrand, who was tortured, the book Tortured for Christ, in Romania, and put in prison for 14 years. And I think 3 of those years were solitary confinement. And they had punctured holes in his body and beaten him up, his vertebrae cracked and broken, and all kinds of things. And in that book, he says, every night in my cell alone, I danced for joy because I saw a beauty in Christ I'd never seen before. What kind of joy is that? What kind of strength is that? Complete trust in the Father's will. Take my yoke upon you. Jesus' yoke upon us. Become yoked with him. Enter into and share union that he shared with the Father and the Spirit. Isn't that the yoke Jesus was carrying? It's not just the cross as in a burden laid on him, but it was doing the Father's will. Verse 27 that I just pointed to before, Jesus claiming to be this exclusive revelation of the Father, because he alone was in that intimate relationship with the Father, is now inviting us into that relationship. Enter into and share the union he shared with the Father and the Spirit. And learn from me. There you get that word, discipleship. Really, that word learn there, matitas, is disciple. And one commentator writes, in this school of discipleship, and I'm quoting this commentator, he says, Jesus is both the teacher and the core curriculum. Jesus is our teacher and he is the curriculum. We learn from him, but we learn him. And Jesus gives us a reason why we should learn from him. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Or lowly. Some translations have that word lowly. It really means low. The idea is not to be overly impressed by a sense of one's self-importance. Isn't that some of the issues that cause us our burdens? We have this overly impressed sense of self-importance. You got to start low, Jesus says. Because this is how God is. This is how Jesus is, who being himself God, over everything, the name above all other names, he humbles himself. Within the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is already such meekness and humility as the three persons exist and work together in perfect harmony, perfect unity, without any sense of one person's self-importance over the other. A perfection that is beyond our understanding, and we can only hold to it as mystery. And yet within this circle of the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is true rest. And in calling us to come to him and take up his yoke, Jesus is inviting us into the very heart of the triune God to join in, as someone has said, to dance in the circle of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you will find rest for your souls, Jesus says. In the first promise, he says, I will give you rest. In the call, he says, you will find rest. When we learn from Jesus, rest happens. And we can take that rest in different ways, right? Rest happens. And why is this so? Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How can a yoke be easy and a burden be light? You know, it's like saying the fire is cold or the ice is hot. I mean, a burden is heavy. A yoke is heavy. But Jesus' yoke is unlike the oppressive yokes of the world which dehumanizes us. Jesus, in fact, carries us. You might have seen that kind of old poem, Footprints in the Sand. And I won't talk about it, but it's about God carrying us. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 31, where God carried his people like a parent carrying a child. And God is able to do so because he's powerful enough to do so. And he's willing to do it because he's a good God. And that's where we have to start. We all have burdens and we all carry yokes. And by giving them to God and taking on what God gives us is freedom. Paul told the Galatians who were being brought under the yoke of the law that Christ set them free from the yoke of slavery. A religion without grace becomes a yoke of slavery. And if we are not under Christ's yoke, we are under some other yoke. We are always yoked to something. You might think, no, I'm just self-made, me, myself. No. We are yoked because we are created for relationship. We are always in relationship with someone or something. We are created for relationship. Whether that relationship is life-giving or life-sapping, we are all in a relationship. We are all yoked to something or the other. And Jesus is saying, take off all other yokes. Take my yoke upon you. The relationship Jesus invites us is to enter into that circle of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which is freeing, life-giving, a lightness that comes when our cares and burdens are lifted off our shoulders and are placed in God's hand. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I don't think much of what I've shared is new for most of the people here, or I think most people joining online. It's not the new information, but I believe it's a new call to all of us. We all struggle, right? We are all like this at many given times. Maybe some of you are not, which is praise God. But 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And shall we do that this morning as we close here? Let us begin this new year by coming to Jesus, receiving his rest, taking his yoke upon us, learning from him what it means to enter into intimacy with the God of the universe, the source of true life and goodness, and serving him with joy and freedom. I've often said it to our ministry leaders and I think in our staff that ministry should be joy and freedom. It's not easy, but if it becomes a burden, you've got to stop it. If it becomes burdensome and you become resentful and bitter, stop. Bring everything back to where you need to start again with Jesus. And that's the way to start this year, right? Let's all come. And as I'm going to read these verses again from Matthew, just take a moment, quieten your hearts, close your eyes. I know some of you are already doing that. That's okay. It's been a late night and some of you are tired. That's fine. This morning's sermon is about resting. So if you're resting in the Lord, that's fine. That's fine. Holy Spirit can work even in our sleep. I really believe that. So no extra burdens on anyone here. But close your eyes, and even if you fall asleep, it is okay. Sheldon will wake us up with the next song. But take a few moments. What is it that's heavy on your heart? What are the burdens? And maybe some of these you've been carrying year after year after year. Maybe it's the burden of guilt and sin that you've never, ever really surrendered to God and received Christ's freeing forgiveness. But bring it all to Jesus this morning. As I read these verses, if you're comfortable, you can open your hands like this and just name the things. You can look at your hands if you want or close your eyes and name the things in your heart. What is it? Stress of school, family, health, anxiety about the future, debt, grief, questions about the world, disappointments, maybe even disappointments with God. Let's bring it all. Hear these words of Jesus again. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come. Come to me. And rest. And so, Lord, we come. We want to start this year with you. We want to start at this place of intimacy with you. Come, Lord Jesus, as we come to you. Come into our hearts one more time. Breathe life into our willing souls. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray.
We've got a couple more songs for you here, and I want to invite you to kind of put yourself in a posture where you can really worship. For some of you, that might be standing up, especially if you're feeling sleepy, or maybe sitting or kneeling.
In the chaos, in confusion. chosen, I know you're sovereign still. In the moment of my weakness, you give me grace to do your will. When you call, I won't delay. Delight is in you, Lord. All of my hope, all of my strength, all my delight is in you, Lord, forevermore. All my delight is in you, Lord. All of my hope, all of my strength, my delight is in you, Lord, forevermore. There is no one else for me, none but Jesus, crucified to set me free. Now I live to bring.
Never come to an end.
They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O God. Great is your faithfulness.
Amen. Well, even as we go from here, I love in that last song that it says, as family, we'll go. And I encourage you, if things have been kind of stirred in your heart and mind today, even about burdens you're carrying that you want to release, about how to walk in that rest that Jesus promises us, I encourage you to turn to someone next to you or come and talk to Sandeep or someone else that you trust to share about that and pray through those things as we go into the new year. So I'll just invite Sandeep up to share our benediction.